Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Welcome to Daily Tech News Show Labs Edition. I'm Tom Merritt, and we're back with another interview. This time, very happy to have artist Shayla Maddox along with us. How's it going, Shayla?
Hi, it's going really, really well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I love getting a chance to talk to you because you fund yourself on Patreon, you have science and technology as an influence, but you're an artist, and I don't get a chance to talk to artists that often doing a tech news show.
That's true. I mean, there haven't been a lot of us for a little while. We're trying to catch up in the tech world.
Well, let's start there. Tell me a little bit about how science influences your art, where it fits in your process and such.
Well, I've been obsessed with astronomy since I was a little girl. And there was part of me when I was growing up that always thought, oh, maybe I'll be a physicist or an astronomer or something. But I don't like math a whole lot. And I don't
That's
like
how I ended up in journalism. I know that.
Exactly. So I kind of just tried to channel that into a different interest. And since my mom was always an artist, it was really easy for me to pick up. And at a time in my life when I was sort of transitioning from being an actor, which I'd sort of grown up doing acting as a kid in and around LA, to something, I wanted something a little bit more that I had creative control over. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of stumbled into painting because it seemed to me like the best way to communicate how I saw the universe and what was interesting about astronomy and science to me. And the thing that I found really interesting was, to me, science is just so profound and beautiful and very, very awe-inspiring. And I think a lot of people don't view it that way. They view science as a much more technical, methodical type of interest, which it is, thankfully. But I see it in such a almost spiritual way. And so that's sort of where my art came to be. I was really interested in, you know, when you view a night sky or the full moon, and then, you know, getting even farther into the images from the Hubble telescope, those are so incredibly beautiful and so awe-inspiring that to me, it almost lends itself to just a spiritual aspect. I can't help but look at photos like that and be moved emotionally. And so that's what's really interested me. And I wanted to kind of show people the way that I viewed something that is otherwise a little clinical mm-hmm. in some ways.
Yeah. Well, and I'm tempted to almost overstate this, but that's an important perspective because we often are told, well, there's art and there's science. And
right.
And I think even more art patrons than artists themselves, but there's this stereotype of the artist eschews science
right.
and fundamentals and that sort of thing. And, you know, I've got Starry Night not the original, obviously, hanging up here in my studio, which to me is on that cross section as well.
Yes.
So I think it's important for people to realize that spirituality and science and technology and art, they aren't exclusive. They don't have to exist in separate containers.
Right, very much. I mean, creativity is honestly the thing that connects all of them. So, I mean, we really have so much more in common in this. Artists and scientists are both coming up with new ideas and trying to push them forward. So it's not as different as we often judge it to be.
And there's multiple ways of understanding things, right? Like this,
yes.
This is another way of trying to understand the world around you.
Absolutely. Very much so.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the medium you work in. Tell us about the materials you use and how your works are constructed.
Well, I make light reactive paintings is what I call them. I'm a mixed media artist. My work is all done on canvas or panels, so it hangs on the wall, but it's very sculptural. I use primarily acrylic, and then I will also add various earth elements that interest me, things like beach sand from specific locations or sea salt, hand collected in certain areas around the world. I use things like crushed garnet and glass, all kinds of just interesting things. I've even used cinnamon at one point that create an interesting texture and allow me to build up the acrylic into interesting shapes and patterns. The specific thing that makes my art really interesting is the phosphorescent pigments. And that causes the art, of course, to change colors and glow in the dark, which is the really exciting thing for me. I wanted to do that from the second I started painting. I was really interested.
Right from the beginning.
Right from the start.
Wow.
That's what I think was interesting to me. It's sort of funny. When my husband and I were in our early 20s, we would go to raves and things like that in and around LA. Mm-hmm. And I would be watching some of these artists in black lights painting these really elaborate murals on the wall. But they would be things like butterflies and, you know, I don't know, traditional kind of 70s black light imagery.
Yeah, tie-dye-ish
kind of. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was watching them and I just instantly thought, it was like, you know, I could do this a lot better or a lot more interesting anyway. And so instantly I was like, having ideas. And that's between that and my interest in astronomy, it kind of came together as the perfect medium for me and the perfect thing to express what it is that is interesting about it. The really cool aspect for me about the phosphorescent pigments is that it allows each one of my paintings to have a different look all day long, depending on what the lighting condition is. So in the daytime, my art, it looks like a regular, full, very colorful, saturated painting. That's very important to me, that if you didn't know it glowed in the dark, you would still think, oh, you know, obviously that's a finished work of art right there. But then the exciting part is later in the day, so the sun goes down, you can turn on a black light and it actually makes it shine a completely different color. And then beyond that, end of the evening, turn the black light off when you're ready to sleep, it glows all night long. I use a strong phosphorescent pigment. So it's much different than the craft paint that we had perhaps, you know, in the 80s and that kind of thing.
Then this the glow in the dark butterfly sticker that I would,
exactly.
stick on my notebook or whatever. You've matured glow in the dark.
You've
elevated it.
I like to think so. I mean, it's definitely not just for kids. And I think a lot of us now who grew up with a bunch of glow-in-the-dark products when we were kids are able to enjoy these things in a completely different way. I mean, it doesn't have to be childlike, even if it does actually stoke that childlike wonder in us, which is part of what's really fun and exciting for me. I mean, it makes me feel like a little kid a little bit. I make paintings and then to have them glow in the dark is just really fun.
Yeah. I mean, just because finger paints exist for kids doesn't mean painting is a kid's thing, right?
Exactly.
It's a whole different situation.
Well, yes.
I'm curious a little bit about the phosphorescence. Is it something off the shelf? Is it something you have to special order? I mean, what kind of material is that? Or is there just the one kind and it's in the kids' stuff and your stuff?
No, it's definitely different. It's the pigments that I use are derived from rare earth minerals. So they're actually natural.
So kind of the same stuff that's in your phone.
Yes. I mean, very much. We know in nature, and you've been in museums and things that show black lights on certain rocks and minerals, and they glow. And so those exist in nature anyway. We're just now finally getting to a point where we can refine them and mass produce them. When I was first starting out, like 2003, it was almost impossible to find these things. The only things really available were the kids' glow-in-the-dark paint.
Right.
And I kind of played around with that, but obviously that wasn't creating the strong effect that I wanted. So I started researching and sourcing on my own. This was, you know, a long time ago. People who were selling the phosphorescent pigments directly to NASA and to fire stations and fishing companies who were making lures and things like that out of them. And so I was sourcing from people like that for the longest time. It was all special orders. And then finally, probably about a little less than 10 years ago, 5 or 10 years ago, companies started picking up the trend. And now it's actually just available all over the internet. If you did a search for phosphorescent pigments, you would find multiple companies around the world. I use pigments from a company called Art and Glow. It's art, the letter N, glow.com. And the reason I like them is because they focus specifically on making artist quality phosphorescent pigments. So everything's a much different world now. It's much easier to acquire these things than it was.
So when you say rare earth elements, I'm assuming it's not cobalt or
no. You know,
or, but what are they? I know zinc sulfide. Is that right?
Zinc sulfide is one of them. Gosh, if you're going to school me, I would have to look up the exact compositions.
Yeah, I don't need to run through a list of all of the chemical names. But,
right.
But I'm just curious. I guess where my head's at is, what's the overlap? You know, what things might be in the technology around us, but also in your art? Because that seems like a cool crossover.
In the technology around us. Well, so zinc sulfide, I'm trying to like look it up right now.
Because zinc sulfide, I know it. The reason I know it at all is it's used in optics.
Right.
So it might be in your camera.
There's actually, each one is different. They're not all based off of like the same chemical. So that's what makes it a little bit more complicated too. And yeah, I'm not getting a good search. It's very okay. Chemical names, which is why. Oh, there's one, strontium aluminate. That's another common one.
Strontium sounds familiar. Like I've definitely seen that around before.
So it's a science for sure. I mean, I am not schooled enough on how they acquire these because I'm just benefiting from the fact that they do it.
Yeah, and that's always going to be an issue with any kind of rare earth mineral because it's rare. Because it's hard to extract, you know, there are going to be concerns about how it's taken, but there are ways to get this stuff in an ethical way. And there are ways that aren't,
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall, whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone
and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
For topic, for sure.
Right. I'm very passionate about that topic because I feel always a little bit, I feel a little weird sometimes with my materials because I use acrylic, and I always joke that my paintings will be around, you know, for a long time.
Permanent art, yeah.
Yes. So there's that. I have a friend who honestly goes in and sources her materials from nature. So she makes the pigments from the rocks. And that's incredible to watch happen.
I bet. In
a very beautiful process, but it's a heck of a lot of work, as you can imagine. I mean, she's literally pounding the stone into a fine powder, and it takes a long time and a lot of elbow grease. And so, I mean, I love that style of art, but at least right now with the art that I make, I can't figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're at so many intersections. You're at the intersection of science and art and spirituality. You're at the intersection of chemical materials and organic materials. And honestly, chemical materials are organic materials.
Yes.
They're just ones that we've modified a little bit, sometimes not even that much. A lot of the really horrible sounding chemicals are taken straight out of the ground.
Oh, yeah. Just in its pure form.
Yeah. and you're at this intersection of the viewer, in other words, the time of day that I see it is going to change my experience of the art. I love that through line of the story of what you make.
Well, one of my favorite things is that I'll make a painting and I can take as many pictures as I can when the light changes in my house and that sort of thing. But I'll send it off to its collector. And a couple years later, even the collector will email me and say, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that there was this copper tone in the painting. And because the sun happened to be at a certain angle and either it was cloudy or not cloudy or something was just different in the formula. And they'll be so excited because it's a brand new element that they've just discovered years into owning the painting. And oftentimes it's something that I didn't know myself. I couldn't have predicted because I don't know what their lighting situation is. So the painting is honestly, it feels like this living thing that continues sort of changing or evolving even without my input after it's out of my hands.
That's
so
great.
That's pretty cool.
So when people were freaking out about the blue and yellow dress, you're like, have I got something for you?
Right, exactly.
And folks, if you want to kind of see an example of that, Shayla has on her shop page, shaylamaddox.com/shop. It looks like one work in different lights, in different situations.
Yes, that's I try to post photos of at least the three main lighting conditions in natural light, just sort of near a bright window, but not in direct light. I do a mixed version. That one's always kind of fun between normal interior lights inside your house. That mixed with the black light creates a completely different color than just the black light alone. And then so then there's just the black light and then no light at all. So I try to let people see as much of it as possible, even though it's really a difficult thing to communicate on the internet.
Sure. Yeah. It's hard enough to capture a static image that doesn't change.
Right.
but this gives you kind of a feel for the idea. Now,
yeah.
The other thing that I think is interesting about how you do your work is that you are now funded through Patreon.
Yes, that is super exciting. That's not something that was ever available to especially classical artists. Mm-hmm. Up until Patreon, really. So I always tell people that I'm so grateful because I think now is one of the best times, if not the best time in history, to be an artist. My personal story with Patreon, it was so profoundly timed for me. I'd been working my butt off for a number of years throwing my own shows, which is just, that's kind of how the art market moved eventually. If you wanted to kind of make a name for yourself, in the late kind of 2000s, that was what a lot of us were doing or trying to do. So I was doing that for a long time, but, you know, being every single part of the art business and the gallerist and the marketing department and salesperson, all of those things, I mean, that's exhausting. It's a ton of work that I was doing myself with the help of my husband. And so I did that for a number of years. But at one point in 2013, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this long term. I mean, at some point I'm going to be older and I'm not going to be able to put out that much energy.
It sounds exhausting just hearing about
all it's fun. I don't want to, dissuade anyone
fun
from that.
Fun things are often exhausting. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so I got to 2013 and I just realized that it was not sustainable for me. And I was readying myself to quit, to be honest, because I just didn't know how I was going to be able to continue and meet all of our just regular expenses as we were. Because it costs a lot of money to be an artist too, as I'm sure you know. So I was just sort of struggling. And it was literally the last month, the same month, of my very last show that I had thrown for myself. And I was thinking that, all right, this is it. This is going to be my last show. I can't do this anymore. Same month, I stumbled upon Patreon. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, what is this? I don't know if this is for me. Is this just for musicians? Because at that time it was very small.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just stalked the company for a few months to see what the vibe was and just decided, you know what, there's not a lot of painters here. I don't see a lot of people doing this, but I'm going to be the one who does it if no one else is. So I just jumped in and I immediately found that I loved it and people were very supportive. I was a little worried about that, but people were super happy to support me in this just kind of ongoing, sustainable way to allow me the breathing room every month to be able to make art by helping fund my basic expenses. It was just this revolutionary experience for me. And I spent the last 5 years, as you know, building up my Patreon more and more, being very active with it. And as of now, it's completely replaced my show income that I was working so hard for every year. So now I'm actually able to finally even think about if I wanted to do a show again in the future. Now I have the option rather than it either being kind of a have to or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, and I think what may be surprising to a lot of people is the idea that you could support art on Patreon because it feels like a Kickstarter thing. It's a thing
right.
You make, and then if I back it on Kickstarter, I get it. So how do you on an ongoing basis, which is what Patreon's good at, support art?
For me, it's forming a relationship with my patrons very specifically and communicating to them, with them on a personal basis, showing them what my life is like as an artist, showing them the process. That's something that I think is hard for a lot of artists. It was hard for me for a long time because we're conditioned to kind of want to show people the end result, the final product, absolutely it's all shiny and polished. But that's not something that people can kind of build relationships on. Mm-hmm. And Patreon lets us have this opportunity where we can like talk to our patrons on a daily basis about what we're going through, the different nuances of our work, if we're having a creative problem or if we're having a creative achievement, all of those things we can share with our patrons. And I try to share both the highs and the lows that I've gone through with them so that we are really facing this as a team and each one of my patrons can feel proud that they helped me move forward with my art. I think that's the most exciting thing is that together we feel like we are a group kind of adding more art to the world. And I'm honored that they're allowing me to be a conduit for them And that makes me just want to honor that even more and make more art and communicate back with them even stronger.
Yeah, because you do have prints as things that people can get for backing you, but it's not really the main thing. There's live broadcasts and columns and things like that.
Right. Yes, it's definitely designed to be interactive. That's the way that I'm looking at it. I'm trying to build kind of a mini community around my Patreon page where we can talk about different things, not just my art, but it's open to talk about ideas, philosophy, even a space for other artists to come and commune with other artists. That would be my ideal. I like the idea of us having a very interactive Patreon rather than it being so separate and as though we're little islands. Mm-hmm. I would like us to be kind of connected more and more interactive and more participatory.
Well, and it really ties into the sort of historical notion of patronage, where someone very directly is helping an artist create something.
Right. And it is a much better balance now, because historically there would be a lot of when someone was a big patron, they would often essentially own you. Yeah. you would live in their home even and create just for them. Whereas this, it's much more about liberating the artist rather than kind of squeezing what you want out of the artist. Now patrons are saying, you know what, I'm just going to let you do you. And the artist has the responsibility then at that point to, in my opinion, live up to that support and make sure. I mean, I think it's our responsibility for these people who are funding us to come up with ideas, to come up with good ideas. I think that's part of our job, is to set the bar higher for us. And since we have this support, just keep aiming higher. That's what our patrons want us to do.
Oh, it's fantastic. Folks, if you haven't checked it out, of course, I mentioned shaylamaddox.com, but also patreon.com/shaylamaddox, and it's spelled S-H-A-Y-L-A-M-A-D-D-O-X. Of course, we'll have links on our website as well. Shayla, thanks so much for taking the time talking with us today. This was really fun.
Thank you so much. I love talking about Patreon and certainly art and science.
And folks, thank you for being patrons of us that allow us to do this.
Yay!
And we hope we live up to your expectations. That's why we keep doing it. Patreon.com/DTNS, of course, for that. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.